So good morning. Firstly, I would like to thank Jean-Jacques Hublin and the Collège de France for the invitations. So Jean-Jacques asked me, to discuss how the hunting strategies and the research for food resource have influenced the organization of past hominin societies. And considering the numerous presentation we had on Neanderthal, I thought it would be interesting to stay focused on this particular taxon. So, throughout the year, and depending on their age and sex, ungulates go through several physiological phases, including the root, the parturition, pregnancy, antler shedding and regrowth, etc. These biological driven phases influence the animal's physical condition and, consequently, the quality and quantity of meat, grease, marrow, hide, antler, and other products they are able to provide the hunters. Linked to these biological changes, the social behavior of the prey also varies significantly with seasons. Gathering and dispersal of their herds, distance of daily movement, and wariness of the individual will all vary in relatively predictable ways over the course of the year amongst male, females, and young within the same populations. Taken together, the seasonally linked source of variability in the behavior of potential prey would have important implications for the hunting strategies developed and the settlement pattern developed by Neanderthal populations. So, just as John introduced us, all the questions linked to storage, and this is a major point in zooarchaeology because for now it's very difficult for us to identify storage in the archaeological records. And except for the very few cases that he insists on, such as Schöningen for the Middle Paleolithic, there is nearly no undiscussed evidence. So we're very limited to, and it's very hard for us to use storage to discuss about the planification and how it helps us to respond to the food food availability fluctuations. However, so we know that with time, human population have learned to anticipate the fluctuation of food, and one of the best demonstrations of that is the development of task-specific location dedicated to the predation, such as kill site, seasonal kill site, battery site, etc. So the development of such task-specific locations has for consequences a special fragmentation in both time and space of the hunting chaîne opératoire. So acquisition, transformation, and consumption of animal were at least done partially in different locations. So identifying such place is of prime interest for our topic since they sign the structuration of the territory for answering to the predation constraint and fluctuation of the resource availability. So briefly, how is it possible for us to identify such kind of sites? So we do that by answering two different questions. The first one is, what was hunted? So the nature of the prey in terms of species, sex, and age have to be identified to confirm a possible selection in the hunting. Secondly, the second question is how the carcass was introduced into the site. So for instance, the Schlepp effect states that a hunter will discard on a kill site the less interesting element and bring into the consumption site the most attractive element. In other words, for us, if only elements of low nutritive value are present in the site, we have a certain chance to be on the killing spot. On the opposite, if the most nutritive elements are overrepresented on a site, that should indicate that they have been selectively introduced within this site for a preparation and or consumption. So, thirdly, to understand the reason of the hunt and answer to the question why this killing happened, we have to refer to the analysis of the marks led by the battery activities on the bone, such as cut marks, fracturation marks, etc., that Camille Dojard already introduced to us. Thus, it is then possible to identify the animal raw material exploited, and by that I mean skin, meat, grease, marrow, etc. So to these three questions, we can also add a fourth one. The question is when, and it might even be one of the most difficult to track. So several seasonal markers help us to identify the season of death of the prey and consequently the season of site occupation. So we'll just emphasize on one of them today, because I'm going to use it in the rest of the talk. So cementochronology is based on the study of growth marker within the cementum. So cementum growth is continued through the life of the individuals and follow an annual cycle with a fast growth deposit in the summer and a slow growth deposit during winter. So the number of incremental pairs is expected to give an aid at death, while the analysis of the nature of the lost deposit nature and stage of growth of the lost deposits should identify the season of death. So here, just for instance, you have presented red deer tooth observed under cross-polarized light microscope. Here, you've got the cementum. In light blue, you've got the summer deposit. In dark here, the winter deposit. So the analysis is conducted after that a thin section is realized within the tooth root and observed in a polarized light microscope. Season of death is established by identifying the nature of the loss increment and, when it is a fast growth one, its stage of growth by comparing its dimension to the previous one. For these specific studies, all the analyses have been conducted by the same observer. 50% of the material was double-checked in a blind test, and specific attention was given to post-mortem modification. Observation were then confronted to comparative material, such as the 900 reindeer collection from the White Kamilaroiac and the Samantha bison collection. So precise measurement of the loss increment are conducted by the use of imaging processing software such as developed by Dan Lieberman in the 1990s. So for the topic of this talk, southwestern France constitute a fantastic laboratory, being one of the densest site regions for the Neanderthal period. The zooarchaeological record is extremely rich for and cover most of the time of their extension from 300 to 40,000 kilo years. And moreover, recent zooarchaeological analyses have confirmed the existence of hunting specific location in the late Middle Paleolithic, but for now, none are identified in the early phase of the Middle Paleolithic before, let's say, 100,000 years, sorry for that. So, while there are some sites dedicated to predation during this period, it seems that all the stages of the chaîne opératoire were conducted there, and we can't clearly see a real structuration of the territory for hunting purpose. So, for instance, I propose you here a picture of the site Coudoulous, excavated by Jobert and Brugal in the late 90s. So, on this site were killed several and processed tens of bisons. They were then consumed, and they were consumed in situ, and the carcass was discarded on the site. But no evidence, no clear evidence of exportation and delayed consumption has been established for now. So, however, things seem to change with the development of the MIS-4, which is a major climatic perturbation that occurred between 70,000 and 62,000 years ago. A recent study made by Emmanuel Discamp demonstrated that during this period of time, we assist to a major replacement of the archaeofauna and a major drop-off of the ungulate biomass. In addition, the sedentary prey that were present, such as red deer, roe deer, just before this event, are abruptly replaced by reindeer. Kate Brighton demonstrated in 2009 that, based on isotopic analysis, that the reindeer at this period was a migratory one. So consequently, not only the number and the kind of prey had varied in this environment, but most importantly, it is a major change in the behavior of the prey that that we assist here. So due to reindeer migration, hunters have to deal with the seasonal fluctuation of the distribution of the resource within the environment. So during this period, Neanderthal population developed a particular type of technological tools called the Kina, introduced yesterday by Shannon McFerrin. I propose you so the presentation here at the relative frequency of the main taxa for each layer, so the color identifies the species. As you can see, most of the on the 19 level from the 8 sites of this Kina period, 17 are dominated by reindeer, and 11 of them exhibit a specialized spectrum underlying the large importance of this migratory prey for this Kina Neanderthal subsistence. That's why scholars have assumed that a hunting specialization on these Arctic deer existed among the Neanderthal from the MIS-4. For the first time, we assist at a large regional scale. To the organization of the hunting activities, with the spatiotemporal distribution of them within the territory, by the development of task specialized sites occupying a very large period of time. So I wanted to present you two examples of this task specific location and show you how the hunting strategies began to sculpt the territorial organization of these populations. But keep in mind that I'm just presenting you example of a larger corpus, and a lot of analyses are still ongoing. But so, firstly, the site of Jonzac that Jean-Jacques introduced us yesterday morning is very famous for this enormous reindeer bone bed. 20 reindeers have been identified here in the small portion of this excavation, which correspond to a maximum of 10% of the site itself. Les Pradelles here yielded 69 reindeer, while less than 50% of the site have been excavated. Moreover, it is only one of the numerous Kina units from these several mere depth stratigraphy. So for these two sites, by taking into account the site extension and the number of prey, it is possible to advance that several hundred reindeers were processed on these sites. So at Jonzac, Niven colleague demonstrate that a possible exportation of some elements might have been undertaken, which seems to work, and the site might have worked as a battery site in close relation with a nearby kill site. In Mariac, Costa Manu and colleagues in 2006 have proposed that carcasses were brought incomplete into the site, where a secondary battery was undertaken before an exportation to a base camp. So the very low density of the lithic material and the systematic introduction of stone tools ready to use, heavily curated, are evidence of short-term occupations. So for each site, 12 individuals were analyzed by semantochronology, and we also collected data with use wear and eruption sequence for 10 others. And at Jonzac, we saw that all the individuals were killed around the winter, during the winter, so represented in gray on this, on my calendar graph here. And on the opposite, all the Mariac reindeers, studied by semantochronology or as tooth eruption sequence, have been killed at the end of the summer, early fall. So on these sites, consequently, these two task-specific locations were used at two different periods of time, but only during one season at our resolution. In addition, we can also mention other sites that are currently under study, such as, for instance, layer 4 at La Chapelle au Saint, also dominated by reindeer, where the hunting seems to have been undertaken only in the summer. So these examples attest of the development at the same site, at the same spot, of the same behavior over a large period of time as attested by the number of carcasses, and at the same moment of the year. It seems that an important number of years would have been needed to accumulate a so large quantity of carcasses, and once again, we're dealing here probably with hundreds of reindeer that have been accumulated over this huge period of time. In each case, the same prey were hunted at a specific period of the year, and carcasses were transported in the same way, and the same activities were conducted at these sites. It seems, though, that the specific location might have been developed at different moments of the year, and that since they were used over numerous years, they became like a major landmark in the territories where Neanderthals came back every year at the same seasons. So to just give you a synthesis on this Kina period, this Kina Neanderthal during this cold period, the subsistence of this Neanderthal is characterized by nearly exclusive exploitations of reindeer and the lack of diversity in its in the diet. The recurrent use of task-specific location over a great period of time, associated with the fact that reindeer was a migratory species, as demonstrated by Brighton, it seems reasonable to think that the reindeer movement conditioned the settlement pattern of the Kina population and the implantation of the site within the territory. In fact, it seems that a visual calendar of the territory occupation was established at that time. Interestingly, a recent study conducted by Marie-Cécile Soulier and Eugène Morin on some of the sites of this period, such as Maria Clepradel, for instance, suggested that some of the exploitation marks left on the carcass, some of the cut marks on the animal bones, would be coherent with a systematic recovery of the meat in order to prepare some storage. It's here interesting to see that it could fit properly with this idea of deferred consumption and the transport of part of this food from this task-specific location to consumption sites. So things change rapidly during at the end of this period. It seems, in fact, that different degree of logistic organization were developed by the Neanderthal population in southwestern France. And just after this period of the coal MIS-4, a temperate weather developed. Emmanuel Discombe demonstrated in 2014 that this period is marked by a development of steppic species, like bison and horse, and a significant increase of the ungulate biomass in the environment, offering new perspective and new possibility for the Neanderthal populations. During the MIS-3, a specific industry was developed, the discoidal denticulate mousterian, attributed approximately to 55 to 45 kilo years before present. So if we take a look to the prey, so here in blue you have represented the frequency of bison, in black horse, red red deer, and gray reindeer. We can see, in fact, two kind of sites, site with a specialized phonal spectra on bison, and site with a more diversified spectra. So the first, the site with a specialized diversified spectra are interpreted as living camp, and part of the second one have been interpreted as task-specific location, and I propose you to take a look to some of them and see how they're exactly why they have been identified and described as task-specific location. So first example is Morand. It's a site in the southern part of the Aquitaine Basin characterized by the abundance of bison remains. 137 bison were identified by the MNI, but based on the site extension, Farisee and colleagues have suggested that 2,000 bison were killed on the site. Layer 6C at La Quina is a site along a large cliff that would have been used for the capture of bison. So on these two sites, the evidence of exportation of the richest elements, the expedient battery, and the articular connection, at least for Morand, are strong elements sustaining the use of these sites as bison kill sites where collective hunting might have been conducted. Sementum analysis has been conducted on the two sites. all the teeth present the same outermost increment. So on the 31 cases, it was possible to identify killing at the end of the summer and the beginning of fall. So others were archaeological proxies, such as the crown wear pattern and tooth eruption sequence, added at least 15 other individuals and sustained this claim and this idea of the hunting at the end of the summer. So this season of death corresponds to the moment when bison are regrouped around the for the migration. And here it seems that the Neanderthal came back every end of summer to perform their collective hunt using the predictable bison habit to optimize their capture. So, yeah, sorry, my slides are a little slow. So these two sites are not alone, and comparable results were obtained on other sites by other colleagues, so for instance, by Gerbe in Lefieux in 2010. And in the same times, when we have data for a site interpreted as living camp, with a broad faunal spectrum and numerous activities and long-term occupation, it seems that they are used at different moments of the year, such as Morin demonstrated for Saint-Césaire. So, denticulate mousterian, for this last Neanderthal I was present, the hunting of these Neanderthals seems to have been diversified and seasonally completed by bison, a specialized hunt. These Neanderthals would have taken advantage of the seasonal behavior of bison to develop some task-specific location dedicated to their capture. The exploitation of diversified prey would have counterbalanced the seasonal fluctuation of the bison concentration within the environment. So within the kina and denticulate, the repeated use of a specific site at a precise time of the year for the same hunting purpose attests of the scheduling of the activities according to a year-round pattern, which influence the movement of the Neanderthal population. However, while kina mousterian would have been constrained to follow reindeer migration, the denticulate population seems to have been able to exploit a larger range of prey during most of the year and practicing specialized hunting only during some restricted period of time. So for me, what seems here interesting and really important to underline is the development during this late Middle Paleolithic of landmark sites that would have been used every year, or at least very repetitively at the same moment. It appears that the predation systems begin to structure the organization of the activities within the territory in both time and space, and that the behavior characteristic of the prey directly impact the social organization of the human groups. I thank you, and I just wanted to mention before to finish that part of this data were based on the sites excavated by Harold Diebel, and I wanted to thank him for that.